Morning. Happy Sabbath again. We're getting our first real taste of winter, I guess, right? That we know here in South Carolina, it's not that bad. You try Alaska, it is a whole different story. So, but God is good, and all the time. Amen. Amen. So, I got my blue and gold on as a reminder. I just like to put it out here whenever I'm up. This is day 269. 269 days of war that the people of Ukraine are going through. So just a reminder for us that we are very fortunate. We are very fortunate. We don't have our houses bombed out and that kind of thing. So, all right, one couple things I want to mention. We do have a new book, a new daily devotional that's out. It's called Every Day, A New Beginning. From Review and Herald, they've got it out by a guy named Alberto R. Tim. So I don't know who it is. I don't know the guy. Somebody might. I don't know. But that's just what they've got out. He's like a history buff. So every day in here is based on some day in history, some event that occurred on the same date in history within Christianity, Seventh-day Adventist Church, or in the lives of Ellen G. White or some other people. So sounds interesting. We have some flyers in the back on the table if you're interested. So just to put that out there. And another thing we have from Religious Liberty, I get the Waymarks newsletter from Southern Union, so it highlights different things going around the country and the world on pertaining to religious liberty and that kind of thing. So there's some on the table in the back in the foyer back there. So that is that. Let's pray before we get started. Father God, we thank you again so much, Lord, for loving us, for caring for us, for sending your son to die for us, to take on our sin, and to remove it as far as the east is from the west. So we thank you for Jesus, and be with us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So the last time I was up here, I had a poster that talked about the different scripture verses that talk about believers in Christ, who we are. And like I said before, I don't know where I was, Walmart or some store, I don't know. You know, you got the posters on the little racks and you spin them and you look at them. And I happened to see that one. I was like, wow, that's awesome. And I said, it'd be nice if there was one that talked about God and his different names. And I found it. Well, not recently, but I had it. It was like a little bit afterwards that. And so this one, in the middle, it says, I am. I'm just going to put that right there. And then it has the different names of God. Now, we know Jesus is the name by which we are saved. We know the scripture says that in our scripture verse. I want to read what it says in the clear word. Verses 11 and 12, it says, Jesus Christ is the stone, capital S, which you rejected. He's talking to the religious leaders at that time, as being worthless. You know, they would build temples and that kind of thing, and they would have stones, and they would decide, okay, this stone, we don't need that one. That one's not going to work. It's just not going to fit. And then it got to the end. They found out, oh, this one fits perfectly. This is the one we need, you know. But the stone in Solomon's time, this temple they was building, that was first laid aside and then found to be the perfect cornerstone for the temple. So Jesus has been found to be the great cornerstone, capital C, of our spiritual house. Verse 12, salvation is found in no one else. No other power is given by which we must be saved except his. And I like how it says power, because we know about Jesus. We know the name of Jesus. We know where it's derived from, Yahshua. But there's people in other countries that may not have heard that specific name, but Christ has still made himself known to them. There's different, we have mission stories to talk about, you know, I saw this angel of light, and he spoke to me, and he said this, and didn't hear the word Jesus, but then they find a missionary, someone in the church, or, you know, Venice, or whoever, and then come to study the Bible, and then come to find out, oh, this is Jesus that I saw, because the description of the Bible, this is him. So that's why the Bible is full of other descriptive names of Jesus than just the name Jesus. Because we know, I could ask anybody, if you have a favorite aunt or uncle or someone, and you may have a nickname for that aunt or uncle, and then another niece or cousin or nephew may have a different name for that same person, but it's the same person. So the different names doesn't take away from the name of Jesus. It's just a further description of God and what he means to each individual person. So I'm just going to go through. You have in your handouts a list of, and thou shalt call his name. I do want to add one error. If you go down to where it says root of David, it says Revelation 22:16. That should be Revelation 5:5. So that's the only mistake that I remember right now. But yeah, I just want to go through these different names of Jesus, and they're going to mean different things. If you ask 5 different people, 10 different people, you know, even you say Jesus, you know, what does that mean to them? It's going to be something a little bit different, because all of our experiences are different with Jesus, but it's the same Jesus. That's the beauty of God. He interacts. That's why he's a personal Savior. He's not just like some religions, this you got to work for, whatever. No, Jesus is personal to us and for us. So Jesus, Matthew 1:21, if you read that, it talks about, we know what that is. It says, he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus, just like the children's story, Jesus saves us from our sins. We can't save ourselves. Jesus is the second Adam. He came to do that for us. Prince of Peace. This is, you read that in Isaiah 9:6. It's talking about the prophecy of the Messiah's birth. So there's that word Messiah, but it's still talking about who? Jesus. Still Jesus. Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor. We know that's a scripture that's usually mainly around the holiday season. Talk about Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor in Isaiah. That's that prophecy talking about the Messiah's birth, that he's coming. Holy One, Mark 1:24. Now, if you read this, in fact, I'm going to go to that one. Luke and Mark. Matthew, Mark, then Luke. Yeah. Mark 1:24. So you think about Holy One. Now, you would think maybe a prophet or a man of God or someone was saying, this is the Holy One. But no, it's funny. It's different. Mark 1:24 says, leave us alone. What do we have to do with you? You're Jesus from Nazareth, aren't you? Have you come to punish us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of Israel. So who's this speaking? These are demons. This is a demon. If you go back to verse 21, it brings that up. But they were in the town of Capernaum, and Jesus went to speak at a local synagogue, and they were amazed how he was speaking. They came to someone, and this is on the Sabbath, and there was a man who was demon-possessed. And so Jesus came to heal this man. But the demon is like, oh, I know who you are. And he's talking, you know, loudly, making a scene. And he's saying, oh, yeah, you're the Holy One. So the demons, you know, they used to be angels, right? They used to be up in heaven with Jesus. So they know who he is. That's not, you know, that's no mystery for them. So that's why they can say with confidence that, yeah, he is the Holy One. Lamb of God. This was John's declaration of Jesus and his role in the sanctuary. Let's go to John 1:29. I'm not going to go over all of them because you have the handout, so you can read them at home at your leisure. But John 1:29, I think that's it, yeah. So now this says, The next day, when John saw Jesus pressing through the crowd, coming to be baptized, he pointed to him and called out to everyone to hear, "Behold, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world." And then Jesus, like the others, were baptized, and from there he went into the wilderness to fast and pray. So here we have John declaring who Jesus is. Prince of Life, Acts 3:15. This is Peter talking about Jesus being the author of life, the originator, the creator, basically, who was killed on the cross. So his life, he laid down and took it back up so he could bring us up again in the resurrection. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, let's say this goes with the Lion Tribe of Judah, the Root of David. This is where it's talking about the end time in with Jesus. Well, let's go to that. Revelation 5:5. I'm just going to read that real quick. But it's basically in the end time, Jesus is being declared these different names are bestowed upon him. So Revelation 5:5. Okay. This is in the clear word, so it may read a little different in the King James. It says, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Don't weep,'" because he's talking to John, and John is distressed about the scroll, because the scroll hasn't been opened. There's no one in heaven found worthy to open the scroll. So John's like, "Oh man, who's going to open this scroll?" The angel said, "It's okay." The elder said, "It's okay. Don't weep. Look, the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the strength and heir of David. He is worthy and able to take the scroll and to break the seals." Amen. So Jesus is worthy to do all these things. All right. Word of life. Let's talk about the personal experience that we have with Jesus. Author and finisher of our faith, that Jesus is our only means of salvation. Advocate. Jesus is our intercessor. He's our advocate. More of a legal term you can look at, that Jesus speaks for us. He speaks on our behalf. The devil is accusing us of things we've done, which we've done. That's not a false statement. We've done some things just like what they showed in the children's story. We've committed these sins. But Jesus steps in and said, "No, hold on, Satan. No, I've covered them. My blood has covered them." Satan has it like, okay, all right, I got to leave that one alone. He can't touch what Jesus has done for us. The way, this one is interesting. John 14:6. John 14:6. So we know about the way, the truth, and the life. But I want to read what this says here. So John 14:6, the way. So here is Thomas. He's speaking in verse 5. He says, Thomas spoke up, "Lord, we have to be honest with you. We don't really know where you're going or how to get there." Someone mentioned in the Sabbath school about even the disciples had questions, were confused on certain issues and things that Jesus was trying to tell them. And Jesus says what? Verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way you get to the Father, and the truth about what he's like. No one can come to the Father except through me." So in the King James, it says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So it kind of brings that in there, but this brings it out a little clearer, because that's the whole reason why Jesus came here. Because what? The religious leaders kept saying, "Well, this is how you're supposed to do things, and you got to do this, and it's a strict adherence to this." But it wasn't pointing the people back to the Father. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he says, "I am the Son. I am the Son of God. There's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit." So Jesus came to point us back to the Father. The scriptures was already there showing that. Sanctuary service, all the things they had gone through. But they didn't get it. They missed the point. They missed the mark. So the Godhead said, "We got to send, someone has to go to point the people back in the right direction." And that's why Jesus came, to point us back in the right direction. Not just to be doing certain things for ritual's sake, but why are you doing it? Who are you honoring? Are you honoring yourself? Are you honoring the Father? day spring. This is Zechariah's prophecy about Jesus. I won't get into that. Lord of all, he is Lord of all because he created us all, Acts 10:36. And we know the great I am that I am. We know that's talking about when Jesus was talking to the religious leaders and he said, you know, before Moses was, I am. And then they wanted to stone him because they knew exactly what he was talking about. He was pointing back to Moses and the incident that he had, well, I should say incident, but the event that happened with the burning bush. And Moses, God spoke through, because Moses said, well, when I go back to the people, you know, what's your name? What should I tell them? Who sent me? And God said, well, this is Jesus through the burning bush, said, I am that I am. And that's interesting because he didn't give him like a specific name, like whatever you could make up, you know. But he said, I am that I am. You research that. God was not going to give Moses a name that he could put in a box. God says, I am that I am, so I can be whatever you need me to be. That's who I am. When you need something, that's who I am. You know, finance, you know, comfort, strength, you know, whatever you need, that's me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. You know, your parents are fine. They provide certain stuff, but they can't provide everything you need. And there's certain things that limit us. You know, like I said before, one time, if my brother was to call me and say, hey, I got a flat tire on the interstate. Can you come help me out? Sure, I'm coming. I may get halfway there, and then my car break down. You know, so now I got to call him. Hey, my car broke down. I can't help you. But see, that doesn't happen with God. There's nothing that prevents him from coming to us when we need him. Sometimes things may get delayed, and we sit there and wait, okay, what's going on? God, I need something. Why have you got here yet? You know. Well, we know that happened in the Bible when, who was it that was praying? Daniel. And what did God say? Gabriel said, you know, I was delayed by the prince. The devil, basically. But Jesus had to come and rectify that situation to free him up. So sometimes things are going on that are delayed, but God has his timing, and we just have to hold on to that. Son of God, the Messiah, talking about Christ's baptism, shepherd and bishop of souls, 1 Peter 2:25. I want to read that. 1 Peter 2:25 talks about the shepherd and bishop of souls. 1 Peter 2:25. So I'm going to 24. He let them crucify him, not only to pay for our sins, but also that we might die to sin and live for God as he did. It is by his wounds and suffering that you have been healed. Before you knew him, you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So that's to me, when I say I read that, that's like repenting. When we repent, we go back to the shepherd. We don't keep going astray and wandering off. No, we know who the true shepherd is, and that's when we follow him. And the Messiah, we know the anointed one, the truth. We covered that earlier with the way, talking about the Father and then what the Father is about and what his character is like. That's what Jesus is reflecting, and we're to reflect him. Savior, we get that. Chief cornerstone. We talked about that a little bit ago, early in the scripture verse. But not only that, but just in our modern time, yeah, in that time period, the temple, they had the stone, they put it aside. You know, sometimes we put Jesus aside. You know, there's a solution. This is what God said we're supposed to do. Oh, no, I don't want to. Let me put that aside. Let me get this one right here. God's like, nope. I mean, if you can be like Jonah. We, you know, I think we've all done that before. God said, okay, I need you to go to Nineveh. Go where? Oh, no, I'm going over here. God's like, okay, I'm going to give you some time. You're going to change your mind. You know, and that happens. That's life. That's reality. You know, but God is patient with us. You know, he's patient with me so many times. You know, I could be hard-headed and like, oh, God. And then God's like, okay, keep on. God said, okay, Lord, I give up. All right. But that's what God wants. So he wants us to give in to him. And it's not the surrender where, okay, I'm surrendering. No, it's like I'm surrendering to the goodness of God because he has what's best for us. That's the good part. King of Kings, Revelation 19, 16, talking about the second coming. So we get that. Righteous Judge, same thing, 2 Timothy 4, 8, talking about the resurrection. He's the light of the world. Now, this is interesting. Let's go to John 8, 12. John 8, 12. John 8, 12. Now, if we go down, I've got, like some Bibles, usually they'll have like a heading because you get the whole chapter, and then it'll say like one thing. People argue about Jesus. The Pharisees reject him. Jesus, the light of the world. So at 12, at least my Bible says, Jesus, the light of the world. So we read that. Then he turned to the crowd which had been watching and said, I am the light of the world, and the person who follows me will no longer have to feel his way through the darkness, but will be able to walk into the future with certainty because he will have the light that gives life. So we kind of get a basic understanding that Jesus, light of the world, you know, he's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We kind of get that. But, now that's verse 12. So if you go to John 8, verse 1, the story that's going on is what? I don't know if your Bible has a footnote or not, or a little heading, but it says, the woman caught in adultery. Now, it's interesting that this event just took place from verse 1 through 11, and then Jesus says, then he turned to the crowd and says, I am the light of the world. So that wasn't by accident. So the people, what was going on with this woman caught in adultery? They were trying to set a trap for Jesus. They said, okay, we can get this woman, and we can get her in adultery, and then we can ask Jesus, what do you think? And then whatever the answer is, we can get him in a trap. And Jesus just, he just ignored him and did his thing and like, okay, I'm going to show you, you know. And then they had to all just walk away because what? He was writing their sins out and they could see it. And it's like, oh, that's me. Okay, I'm gone. Okay, another guy see that he see that's me there. Okay, and then he walks away. So Jesus is saying, you know, he will shine light, not just on the darkness so we can see, but he will shine light on the darkness that's going on around you so you can see what's really happening. Then you can know, okay, I got to, you know, rethink what I'm doing. So it's not just the surface, what we see, but we have to go back. That's why scripture, we have to read a little before and after. You take one scripture and take out a context, you can do whatever you want with it. But you look at certain scriptures and you read before and after, and you're like, okay, in this context, oh, I see. So I thought that was interesting that it came right after that incident there. So head of the church, we know what that is. Jesus is the head of the church. So we are the church. So he is to be our head. You know, I know you got conjoined twins and you have two people with two heads, whatever. But basically, if I tell my arm to do something, this is my brain telling to do is I can't, my arm isn't going to do something independent unless I'm possessed or something, but you know, your body's going to do what the head tells it to do. So the same thing with Christ, he is to be our head. He is to guide us on where we're supposed to be going and doing. Morning star, Jesus is our shining hope. So on the surface, you read that and like, okay, we get that Jesus is our morning star. He's our shining hope. But think about it, at night, the sun comes up, right? It doesn't matter what room you got closed off, even if there's no windows in there. If you got doors, you know, you're gonna have some light, but even your window is if the shutters are closed, whatever, some light gonna come in, right? Doesn't matter. When the sun comes up, there's gonna be light in that house, wherever you are, unless you, like we was in Alaska, and it's light almost all the time in the summertime, and you have to block the windows and stuff to have darkness to sleep. That's their situation. So with Jesus being the morning star, he wants to permeate That's how I see it. He wants to permeate every aspect of my life, no matter how dark it may be. He wants to put light on it. If it's sin, to get it out of me. So the only way that stops, like it says, you know, you're not supposed to rebuke or hinder the Holy Spirit. So if we put these darkening things up, then we're trying to shut out the light of God. And that's a dangerous situation. So we shouldn't do that. Light the world. We get that. Okay, I think I skipped some. No, okay. Son of righteousness. This is talking about in Malachi 4:2. And also you go to verse 1. It's talking about the end of sin. Let me read that real quick. So I know that sounds kind of different than what... Because when I first read it, I was like, that's not what they're saying. But yeah, it is. So Malachi 4:2, it says, the Lord says the day is coming when the arrogant, the proud, and every evildoer will burn up as quickly as straw in a furnace. The day is coming when the whole world will be on fire. There's only one time I know it's going to be, the whole world's going to be on fire again. No one who is wicked will survive, including the one who is the root of all sin and his helpers who are his branches. So that's talking about Satan and his evil angels that are with him. Verse 2, but for you who respect and honor my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. You will leap for joy and be as free and happy as growing calves fed from the stall. Now, I never was raised on a farm, so I don't know about how calves act and that kind of thing. But I can imagine they're pretty happy. You know, they're just like children, don't have a care in the world, as long as, you know, parents take care of them. So I get that analogy. Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 15:11. So, and that's got like two titles there, because you got Jesus in the middle, and then you got Lord. So Jesus is Lord over us. So if you have a Lord or someone over you, they kind of, I don't want to say dictate, but kind of guide you and tell you, you know, how things should go. Just like there's a kingdom that we're going to be going to, the kingdom of Christ. So there's someone that's in charge. And then Jesus, the Christ, I just had the in there, because you read through the Bible, talk about Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ. So Christ is like a title that's specific for Jesus. There's only one Messiah that's coming. There's only one who's going to save us from our sins, and that's Jesus. So Chief Shepherd, 1 Peter 5:4. Let me read that. 1 Peter, we're almost done. Let's see. 1 Peter. So 1 Peter 5:4. In fact, let's go to 3. It says, don't lord yourselves over those who have been put under your care, but be an example to them. And when the shepherd of shepherds comes back, he'll give you a crown of glory that will never fade. So Jesus is our chief shepherd. Resurrection to life, we get that, John 11:25. Of course, that's talking about Lazarus being resurrected. And now Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, it's not something you have to wait for. You know, it's looking at you. This is it. I'm the resurrection, you know. So Jesus was letting Martha know, hey, everything's going to be okay, you know. And he just gave a glimpse of what the future is going to be like when we all get resurrected. So horn of salvation, this is Zechariah's little prophecy from Zechariah, talking about Jesus, Luke 1:69. I want to read that real quick. So Luke 1:69. Don't have too many New Testament. Let's go past 50 or 60. So Luke 6:9, Zechariah's prophecy. Let's go to 67. Now, while Zechariah was praising God in front of his relatives and neighbors, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the old man prophesied, saying, praise the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to redeem his people. He has given evidence of his power to save us through one from the lineage of David. So this is just Zechariah's prophecy talking about Christ coming one day, which he has. Let me see, where do I stop? Okay, so governor, this is Micah's prophecy. If you go back and read, like my Bible, it gives a footnote that says this, you know, we reference the Old Testament scripture, and then it says Micah. So this is Micah's prophecy about Christ's birth, that he be called governor. Okay, and then the last one, Alpha and Omega. That's pretty self-explanatory. The beginning and the end. So we know Christ is in all and of all. There's nothing before him, nothing past him. He is everything for us. So in closing, I just, on the other handout, what is God like? I just want to read the third paragraph in closing here. It says, now let us improve the precious opportunities to become acquainted with our Heavenly Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Wondrous love that God, the infinite God, has made it our privilege to approach him by the name of the Father. No earthly parent could plead more earnestly with an erring child than he who made us plead for the transgressor. No human loving interest has ever followed the impenitent with such tender invitations. And so all these scriptures that are before us, in one way or another, they touch us. You know, one may touch one person differently than the other. But it's all pointing back to Jesus. And that's the whole point. And Jesus is pointing us back to who? To the Father. Because the Holy Spirit points us to who? Jesus. See how they work in a circle? Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Jesus points to the Father. The Father talks about Jesus at the baptism. This is my Son whom I am well pleased. They all work together. It's just amazing. And all the scriptures there in front of us. So just hope you can able, that can give you comfort. Sometimes when I get kind of, I don't want to say depressed, but kind of out of sync, you know, I look at that poster and I just read those scriptures and I think about those names and I'm like, okay, we got a wonderful God that's here for us. So hope that inspired you. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you again for the wonderful love of Jesus, who through all scripture has shown us and given the example of who you are, that you're our Father and that you care for us and love us so much. So Lord, we pray that the words in the scripture will encourage us to continue to seek out Jesus, to continue to allow him to live in our lives and to change us into what he has us to be. So be with us now as we go out through this week. May we crown him Lord of all. And we look forward to that day when you return and change us in the twinkling of an eye. And then take us home to be with you forever. This we ask and thank in Jesus' name. Amen.